If you would, turn in your Bibles in the New Testament to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12. We're going to be looking at a few verses there in Romans. I don't know if it hit anybody else. I just loved what Hugh had to say. Bruce is speaking tonight. Let's bow. You know, basically, I'm with you, Hugh. Let's pray. Let's pray about this one. Anyway, this passage here, verses 9 through 12, in a lot of our Bibles, there might be little headings of topics and so forth. Those are just man's comments. In my Bible, it says Christian behavior. And this is a very, very good passage to look at our behavior as a Christian. We are Christians. Tonight is not necessarily going to be a plan of salvation, but just to reinforce what we already know of how we as Christians should be. I see when we come together, yes, we come together and we worship the Lord God. He wants us to every first day of the week, but a byproduct of it, the reason, one of the benefits of us coming together is we get recharged. I mean, we can worship God by ourselves. We can pray to God by ourselves. We can take the Lord's Supper by ourselves. But God wants us to come together as a body to worship Him. And one of the benefits is that recharging, that encouragement that we get from each other. During the week, the phone calls we get, the emails we get, the texts, a happy birthday on Facebook, whatever. That we encourage each other, that we come together, because ultimately we want to behave as Christians. We want to let that light shine when we go off to work. We want that light to shine when we're mowing our yard or washing our car or whatever it is at the grocery store. And these verses do of course it's God's word, but they do a very good job of reinforcing to us what our behavior as a Christian should be, and just a gentle reminder about what we're about. And starting off in verse 9, Paul says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good." That is a whole sermon right there. But to we're told to love, and Jesus said, you know, that people will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. We want that love to not be hypocritical. That we don't want to be seen like Jesus so condemned the scribes and the Pharisees and called them hypocrites, brood of vipers, things like that. We don't want to fall in that category. And Paul's reminding the Christians in Rome that let love be without hypocrisy. He goes on to say, same thought, but a different issue. Abhor what is evil. Kind of going along with that. You don't want, loving hypocritically is evil. It's distasteful to God. It's distasteful to humans. I don't care whether you're a Christian or not. When people see you loving hypocritically, they recognize that. And Paul goes on to say, abhor. That is a strong word. It's not just stay away from, it's abhor. You despise it with every ounce of your being. You get away from evil. And he goes on to say, but cling to what is good. I do not remember if this was a verse that he used. But I remember a sermon Preston had once where he was on a rock, on the kind of a cliff on the beach, and he was clinging to that rock because the waves were hitting him and this and that. And holding on for dear life. Hold on for dear life to what is good. In our lives, it is so easy to be, you know, we're bombarded living in the world. Society tries to tell us what good and bad is. Bad, oh, it's not that bad. Look at how many people are doing it. You know, oh, you old fuddy-duddy. You're so old-fashioned. We're told to cling to what is good. In 1 Thessalonians, kind of a companion verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, Paul again writes, abstain from every form of evil. I am really, really good in some areas. In some areas, I'm not tempted at all. In some areas, I can come through with flying colors every time. And then there's some areas, it's tough. There's some areas that it's effort. And you have to remember, Paul says, abstain from every form of evil. Whether you're in the minority, majority, whether everybody else is doing it, abstain from every form of evil. The next verse in Romans, verse 10, he goes on to say, not only love, let your love be without hypocrisy, but be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. That right there, you think of the humility that Jesus had, that how he showed his followers just the living definition of humility, washing their feet, just the way he conducted himself. And Paul is talking about that. Be affectionate, kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're going through this thing called life, this temporary state that we're in called life. We have each other to go through it with. Treat each other with brotherly love. Goes on to say, in honor. Usually we think of honor, we get honor. In honor, give. Give preference to one another. It's kind of right the opposite of what the world says. Not kind of, it is the opposite. In honor, we give preference to one another. We give honor to them. Giving, letting the other person's interest come through instead of ours. The Apostle John in John 13:35 says, by this all will know, and this is Jesus speaking, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We use this verse, I think it was last week, kind of as an identifying mark. You know, this is one of the ways that we can show the world and each other that we are brothers and sisters if we have love for one another. And it's not always easy. So I'll tell you, some people are easy to love. Takako, you are easy to love. You know, Hugh, and Hugh, you don't get any rebuttal, okay? Letta is easy to love. I can't personally say that about all my brothers and sisters that I've ever met, that I've ever worshiped with. Some take more effort, just like in a family. You love your family, but some family members are a little harder to get along with. You've got the, you know, the brothers and sisters that bicker and fight, and you know, you got that crazy uncle, you know, that you've got different people in your family that are different kinds of people. That's the same with us as a church family. But Paul said, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference. Giving preference to them. Not what I want. And isn't that hard? Isn't that hard to give up what you want for what they want? In verse 11, he says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Some strong words there. Some very strong words. Diligence. Diligence is not a word that I think of that just happens. You put effort, forethought in diligence, whether it's at work, whether, you know, if you're a parent, you just don't haphazardly raise children properly. You put diligence in, and I'll tell you can put diligence in and it's still hard. Fervent in spirit. Not lukewarm, fervent. And what? Serving the Lord. If the things that we do as Christians isn't in honor to serve the Lord, we're missing the point. Serving the Lord, rejoicing. You know, that's just, I don't know, I picture the word rejoicing more than just being happy. Okay, just instead of just being a happy galoot, you know, you're rejoicing in something. I picture those film clips and the photographs at the end of World War II. The people were elated. They were beside themselves. We won. Hugging each other. It's all smiles. Crying tears of joy. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. If we didn't have hope, we would be miserable. I don't know how people live life without Christ. I really don't. It's tough. And if you did not have that hope, and you wonder why there's so much depression, you wonder why there's so many suicides, you wonder why there is so much alcoholism of people turning to those because of the hopelessness. Patient in tribulation. Ugh. You mean I've got to be patient in it? I just can't endure it? You mean I just can't grip my teeth and get through some? You've got to be patient in tribulation. And this is coming, and I ask myself a number of questions. You know, I like to look at the a lot of the root words and so forth, but I look at who was writing it? Paul. The guy that's been shipwrecked, the guy that's been beaten, run out of town on a rail, imprisoned, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly. He's not just saying, oh, and by the way, say a prayer every so often. It'll help. Steadfastly in prayer. In Luke 17:10, very encouraging scripture to me. Jesus says, "So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do." Sometimes you don't get a pat on the back. Sometimes you just have to do. It says, when you've done those things, all those things that you were commanded. We need to remember, they were commands. Commands of God's word. We don't pat ourselves on the back. Oh, I did this, I did that. Jesus is saying, it was your duty to do those things. It was your duty. You're not doing anything that you shouldn't have been doing. In verse 13 of back in Romans, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. That is another example of how we show our care for each other. I don't know how many times, I couldn't count them, where a brother or sister has been in need of something. And it doesn't have to be physical. It can be spiritual. It can be emotional or physical needs. Their brothers and sisters are there. Time after time after time after time. And Paul's reminding them, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, that we take care of each other. If we don't take care of each other on this earth, who's going to? Does the world, are the atheists going to care about us? In Galatians 6:10, Paul, again, is writing, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, I want to stop there for a second. Having opportunity sometimes is just opening our eyes and being aware of it. I bet you every day, if we would open our eyes, we would find ways that we could assist each other. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all. To all. Especially to those who are of the household of faith, our brothers and sisters. It is a duty of ours. It is a command. And we have to let that love, when we do something, be without hypocrisy. Romans 12:14. Bless. Why did Paul have to go here? I was doing okay. I was feeling pretty good about myself so far. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That's tough to do. That is tough. Jesus said in Matthew 5:11-12 in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. There's different kinds of persecution. There's different levels, but there's, you know, people can persecute us just for being us. We can't do much about that. We just got to endure it. And we can't fight back. But Jesus is saying, when they persecute and say all kinds of evil against you for my sake, when you suffer because of me, when you suffer because of being a Christian, you remember, great is your reward in heaven. You've got that hope. And he says, you're in good company. I want to remind you, they persecuted the prophets before you. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. In Matthew 5:46, Jesus says, "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" If we only love the people that like us and are friendly to us, what good is that? I mean, anybody can do that. Anybody can be friendly to the people that are friendly to you. But what about when people are persecuting you? What about when people revile and say all kinds of evil about you? That's what he's saying. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. On the kind of the flip side of the coin. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. It's not always about us. We're told to rejoice with those who rejoice. Have you ever been with somebody, you're rejoicing about something, you're trying to tell them about your good fortune or something that good has happened, and they say something that just takes a little bit of wind out of your balloon, or they turn it around, it's about them? I'm telling you something, and they turn the table, it's about them now. Rejoice with those that rejoice. And weep with those who weep. You know, sometimes you can't fix somebody else's problems. Amen. But sometimes, just being a shoulder. I was talking to somebody recently on the phone, and they were saying, you know, if they've told me this before, but, you know, if you ever need to lean on me, well, you know, I'm here. I know that. Weep with those who weep. You can't always pull out the magic wand and poof and fix everything. Just being there. Sometimes not saying a word. Just weep with them. Be of the same mind. That's not saying you have to have the same likes. I am so odd. I'm an oddball. I know that. I like thin pancakes. Everybody likes all the big fluffy. I like thin pancakes. We don't have to be of the same mind on that. Speaking of pancakes, I like the white Cairo corn syrup on my pancakes. Most people are not going to agree with me on that. That's fine. Be of the same mind in Christ with each other. We have the same Savior. We have the same Lord. We are baptized into the same body. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." You talk about the great equalizer. That's the gospel. In this audience of 20-some people, we've got various ages, various races, various nationalities, different genders, different backgrounds, born all over. We've come from all over parts of the world, and especially the United States. We're Christians. Be of the same mind. We've been baptized into one body. It says, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. It may not happen. Paul understands. It takes two to tango. He understands you may not get along with everybody, but don't let it be you as the reason why. If you don't get along with somebody, make sure it's not that you're the reason. As much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. I might give him thin pancakes. He may not like them. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. This is not a license. It started out, let love be without hypocrisy. It's not be nice to him so you can get back at him. It's not be nice to him so you'll heap coals of fire on their head. That's not the purpose. But by doing so, you turn the tide. It's on them now. And if you can't fight fire with fire. Well, you can. The world does it all the time. We shouldn't. Proverbs 24, starting in verse 17, says, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him." In the previous verse, let God, leave wrath to God. One, he can do it much better than we can. And two, he doesn't want us to get caught up in that. Do not rejoice when your enemy... And that's tough to do. You're persecuted. People revile and say all kinds of evil about you like Jesus said. And then when they do get theirs, you can't be off in the on the side in the corner. Yes! I'm glad I... You can't have that attitude. We can't. And it's so that's hard to do. Because you want to see them get theirs. They deserve it. Yes, they deserve it. But if we react that way, that's being hypocritical. Saying we're a Christian and rejoicing. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, lest the Lord see it and it displeases him and he turn away his wrath from him. And he might turn it on us. I don't know. But at least he's taking it off of the bad guy. And the last verse, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Isn't that one of our purposes as a Christian in this new walk of life that we have? When we come up out of the waters of baptism, that's what we're trying to do. Overcoming evil. And overcoming evil with good things. Romans 12, 2, going back earlier in the chapter, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's our purpose as a Christian, is to behave like this. This passage isn't about the plan of salvation. It doesn't take sinners and leads them to the path of Christ, but it does tell us that are Christians how we need to behave, how we need to conduct ourselves in our life, to be making inroads in maturing to be a glory to God. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sin, whatever your need, I encourage you to let your needs be known. Just wanted to announce, everybody, we're going to go over to Firehouse Sub and celebrate our sister Judy Gale's birthday, who was yesterday. I think she's finally legal, 21. But have some brotherly fellowship with each other. And if you have a need that your brothers and sisters can help you with, please come forward while we stand and sing the invitation.